For the benefit of those listening to this recording on the Sacramento Valley Intergroup website, this was recorded during the Recovery of the Body, Mind, and Spirit event on May 22, 2021. It is my pleasure to introduce Rosette from New York, who will share her experience, strength, and hope on her recovery of the body.
Hi, my name is Rosette, and I'm a compulsive overeater. The time that I got to spend with my aunt was a bright spot in a kind of bleak period of my childhood. And one of my favorite memories from that time is having her braid my hair. I would sit on the floor between her knees. I'd be exhausted from running around playing all day and warm and relaxed from the shower she gave me. And I would fall asleep on her knee while she braided my hair. So of course, you know, little girls want to be like big girls. I wanted to learn how to braid. My aunt's braids were all tight and neat and pretty. And my braids were lumpy and misshapen until I finally learned that the secret is not how you move your fingers. The secret is how you do the hair. You have to separate the hair into three equal parts. If one part is way bigger than the others, that part's going to be a lump, and that's going to distort the braid. My recovery and my disease is like that. I know today that compulsive overeating is a disease of the body and the mind and the spirit, but my disease is rooted in early childhood. Clear memories of compulsively overeating in the first grade. So this was during a time when I had experiences that were frightening, sometimes ugly, but things that I had no real understanding of and no real concept of the feelings that were coming up in me. All I had was my body. And so what I did was I held all my feelings in my body. So, for example, when my parents separated and left and didn't come back when they said they would, I felt abandoned. I was so sad and so afraid. I felt like I was all alone in the world, that nobody wanted me and that I didn't have a place. I didn't understand that belonging is a spiritual need. I didn't even know what a spirit was. It was a word I heard at church that was kind of mysterious. What I did know is I felt empty inside. And so my body said to me, okay, Rosette, it's all right. I can fix this for you. Eat something creamy. You will feel better. It'll comfort you. So I ate something creamy and it did comfort me, but my spirit got pushed over in the corner and hidden under all that food. When the kids at school beat me up and my grandfather told me I was worthless and lazy and stupid, I was furious. I was so angry. But these were the days when children were seen and not heard. And in any case, I knew emotions happen to you, but I had no real concept of how to manage emotions, what to do with them. What I knew was that my stomach was churning. And so my body said, I got this, Rosette. Have something crunchy. That will release all the tension that you're feeling. And so I did, and my emotions got shoved over in a corner and squashed down. And I became much less active in life, kind of dead to life in many ways. Later on, when I was molested, I was full of pain and shame. I kept thinking about what had happened. It kept coming up. I kept remembering it. I didn't know about the mind and about obsessive thinking. I just knew that I wanted to curl up in a corner and hide. But my body's learned now how to fix it. So it says to me, eat something sweet. It will soften the blow. And I ate something sweet. And there goes my mind. So all my emotions were pushed to the side and crushed down, and my mind and my spirit were diminished. My body took over. My body dominated the picture, and my body just knew that no matter what happened, food was the answer. Happy, sad, scared, just celebrating morning, eat. That will make it better. And so I did that, and I continued to do that. Even when I got to a place where I knew a little bit about psychology and I had a better understanding of spirituality, but this was my coping way now. And so it worked. It didn't truly work after a while, but I deluded myself into believing that it did, and I kept on. I kept on until I came to a place where I have a memory of sitting in a meeting and spending the entire meeting sitting on one butt cheek because my hips wouldn't fit between the arms of the chair. I remember switching from tie-up shoes to slip-on shoes because that bending over was so uncomfortable because my belly had gotten so big. My life was driven by craving. I didn't like to eat in public because I sometimes felt like I just couldn't get the food in fast enough, and I didn't want to humiliate myself in public. My life was about, did I get enough in the last meal? How soon is the next meal? And what can I have to eat? I ate frosted cereal out of mixing bowls, and I added extra sugar to it. All that eating, and still I felt empty. I was empty because there's this huge hole inside where my emotions and my spirit should have been, where I pushed them in a corner and squashed them down. And you would think that because my body was in charge, that my body would see itself as a winner. But that wasn't true at all. When I was a little kid, my body was a source of joy. I'm sure everybody remembers that feeling of running with the wind against your face, how wonderful and alive you feel, or how being hugged is such a warm and happy thing. Or your heart beating out of your chest when your little brother comes and ambushes you from behind something. All that joy in my physical being was lost. And I began to see my body as a source of distress. My body was a source of physical distress. I had indigestion and diarrhea. It was a source of emotional distress, shame at what I've done to myself, and spiritual distress because I felt different from everybody else. I felt that people stared at me and little kids ridiculed me and I just didn't belong. So the feelings that I thought I was gonna relieve actually ended up worse in the end. But anyway, I kept at it until I was 340 pounds. And I reached a point of despair and went into inpatient treatment for my eating. And so I get there, and guess what these people say to me? It's not about the food. I said, what? Then they gave me a big book. And it said in the big book that I was mentally and physically ill, but I was also spiritually sick. And that when the spiritual malady was overcome, I would straighten out mentally and physically. In the Brown book, it says, after all, it's our thoughts that precede our emotions, and it is our emotions that make us eat. But I didn't see that. I was 340 pounds and desperate to lose weight. And so I looked at them and I said, come on, people. My diabetes is crippling me. My doctor's warning me that I'm at risk of losing my vision and going into kidney failure. I had to buy two seats on the plane to get here because I didn't fit in one seat. This is about my body. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand, my program didn't just talk to me about the spiritual aspect. They did teach me about the physical aspects of addiction. They taught us about brain scans that show physical evidence of addiction. They taught us about neurotransmitters. Even if they hadn't told me, I would know, because that withdrawal was so horrible. My stomach was upset. I was irritable. I was craving all the time. And I was totally emotionally labile. All those feelings. Halfway. All those feelings that I had been crushing down came back up to the surface and made me so upset during this time. But finally, I made it through the withdrawal and began to see some of the clarity that comes with abstinence. And I got it when somebody said, read the promises. The promises were written originally for alcoholics, and the word alcohol never appears in the promises. And the promises never tell you that you're not going to drink. They tell you you're going to have a spiritual awakening and you're going to have a wonderful life, because the drinking, or in my case, the eating, is a symptom, not the problem. And I need to treat the problem. There was work to be done. I did have to do the work for the physical recovery. I had to make that list of red, orange, and green light foods and learn what foods were triggers for me and made me lose control. I had to have a dietitian to prescribe the amounts that I ate, because that judgment was gone. I had to make an agreement with my sponsor that I wouldn't make any changes in my eating plan without discussing with my sponsor, because I was very good at convincing myself that this won't hurt, it'll be okay. I had to define my abstinence and stick to that definition, hold myself to it. I had to turn over my food every morning, taking responsibility for what I was gonna eat that day. And at the end of the day, be accountable for whether or not I did what I said I was gonna do. I had to give up the scale. I have a scale for my food and I weigh my food, but not my body. The scale pushes me over into crazy territory. And so I tend to avoid it. And I learned to focus on recovery, not on my body. Learning that if I worked for recovery, my body would take care of itself. So once I finally got abstinence, I discovered that for me, the next step in recovery was a change in my relationship with my body. I had to learn that my body was not the enemy. Yes, my body had convinced me to do some really stupid things, but it behaved the way it did because I was in pain and it was trying to help me. And so here's where I am right now. I aim to think about my body the way you think about newborns and kittens. You know that feeling? You look at them and it opens your heart and you want to protect them and be gentle and loving with them. That's how I want to treat my body. I'm not there, but I'm on the way. I'm trying. Because, you know, my body has served me well. Yes, I ate until I weighed 340 pounds. But when I look back, I realize that my body may have saved my life. It may have been that if I didn't have the escape of eating, with some of the things that happened to me, I may have become so crazy that I was not salvageable when it came time for me to come and join the program and work the steps. So I owe my body thanks for what it did for me. It served me well. But I'm at the point where it says in the Brown Book, now that your body is no longer your master. And so as I began to see my body as not my master, I had this strange way of seeing my body all of a sudden. I suddenly realized that my body is a miracle. My brain does things that no computer could do. Those of you who drive, if somebody put sugar in your gas tank, you'd have some big mechanic bills, and they would spend a lot of time fixing your car. I had horrible blood sugars, and when I found abstinence, my body did the repairs that I needed. I didn't have to tell it what to do, it knew, and it went right along and did what I needed to be healthy. I'm not back to where I normally would have been, but I can't imagine what I would be like if I didn't have that magic body that's able to renew itself. So now that I see my body as a miracle, and I give it respect and I give it love, I realize that I believe a little less the lies that society and my crazy mind tell me about my body. No, I do not need scissors to cut off my saddlebag. No, I do not need to be Naomi Campbell. No, I don't need to be tall and skinny. It's not necessary for me to be a coat hanger girl. There is beauty in this body that my higher power gave me. It's getting old. It's succumbing to gravity. I wear my years on my face and in my body with happiness and joy that I'm still here. If this body is a miracle and my spirit and my mind inhabit this body, guess what, guys? I live in a miracle. I inhabit a miracle. What could be better than that? But my body remembers. And psychologists say that the memories that you make in trauma are not stored and processed like regular memories. When they come back to you, they come back in horrifying details and you feel like you're right there again. And you get so lost in the memory that you're just lost in all the vivid detail that the part of you that should be living and participating in daily life is numb and just sort of at a distance. So yes, those emotions are still there. Those memories are still there. But because I've worked the steps, because I've found the healing from the steps, it's not as bad as it used to be. And it's getting better every day. I have to keep remembering that when I turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him, my body had to turn over that managing that it had been doing. It couldn't be in charge anymore. It had to be a member of the team, one equal section of that braid I had been talking about. And so as long as I'm in surrender, as long as I give up my will, yes, pain and fear and anger, they're still in my life. And when they build up, my body says what it's always been saying, eat something. But my emotions have learned from the steps. And so my emotions stand up and say, this is my territory. I know what to do with this. I know that emotions are like waves from the ocean. If I just stand here and plant my feet, they're gonna come, they're gonna watch over me, and they're gonna ebb, and I'm gonna be okay. And I don't need them. I still have moments when I feel alone, when I feel like I'm not connected, when I wonder what happened to everybody. And you know what happens, my body wants to eat. But my spirit says to me, hey, I'm here. I did step 10. Step 10, yes. I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood him. So there is a channel for you. You can reach out to your higher power, who's always going to be there, always going to be loving, always going to fill the void that you see there. And it's not only your higher power that you have, all those people in your home group, all your response. One, all your sponsees, always there's somebody there for me to talk to. So I'm moving forward in recovery, progressing towards cooperation of my three parts. Every day my life gets a little bit more like those braids that my aunt made, even and symmetrical and much more beautiful than they used to be. My three parts are woven together. When one is a little weak, the other one can provide a little reinforcement and a little strength. And every day I feel more complete and more integrated. I'm learning to embrace a life in which I inhabit this body, this miracle of a body, in serenity and in joy. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay.